All right, here we are again. Lawyer Talk Off the Record on the air, where we bring you yesterday's news 3 weeks later. And we're doing that today. And ironically, it's from Columbus, Ohio, a case that got national attention. Officer Jason Mead of the Franklin County Sheriff's Department. This was a police shooting case. These get all sorts of political commentary. I'm not going into that. We're going to talk some about the law. Again, I try to stay away from the politics here. But he was accused of, he had two counts. One was murder, and the other is reckless homicide based on a police shooting. The case went to trial a while back, and it was a hung jury. And by the way, if there's a hung jury, it means the jury didn't get to decide the case. They couldn't figure it out. And what happened instead is it was a mistrial. So if a hung jury results in a mistrial, prosecutor gets to decide, do we retry the case or do we just dismiss it and say, good enough? Sometimes those decisions are made because the case has a lot of attention. And they feel strongly about it. Sometimes the prosecutor may say, look, it was 11-1 for not guilty. We have no reason to think we're going to win the case and we're not going to retry it. Whatever. The prosecutor decided they're going to retry it. And then on May 7, 2026, and by the way, the shooting happened on December 2020. The jury, that week the case went to trial and the jury initially was hung. The jury came back and said, all right, judge, we're hung. We can't reach a verdict, so we don't know what to do. And the judge did something else, or did something that people don't always understand. Let me look it up. The judge gave what we call the dynamite charge. The dynamite charge is an instruction to the jury that basically says, look, jurors, we don't have any reason to think that any other juror is going to do a better job than you. There's no reason to think that you guys aren't the perfect jury for the job. So please, if you feel compelled to believe this way, please consider the other beliefs. If you're compelled to believe that way, please consider the other belief. But it's basically a judge saying, I don't care what you say, go give us a verdict, damn it. And, you know, I've had plenty of cases where it's, by the way, it's based on a case called Allen versus the United States. U.S. Supreme Court says that's okay. You can give that instruction. In Ohio, it's called the Howard charge, State versus Howard, for those who care. But anyway, I've had plenty of cases where I object to it because I just feel like I should. But as many times as the judge has given that instruction and the jury has come back guilty, it's been the opposite. It comes back not guilty for me. So, and then oftentimes it's just still no verdict. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes I've had judges give the Howard charge twice or some version of it. Like, remember, I told you, darn it, you have to decide. Anyway, in Mead's case, the judge gave the Howard charge or the Allen charge, and the jury comes back with a verdict. And the verdict was a partial verdict. On the charge of murder, the jury was hung. The jury could not reach a unanimous verdict. So, and just to, murder in Ohio is basically purposely killing somebody else. So the idea was that Mead was charged with killing somebody in the line of duty, and it was doing it purposely or caused the death of another. But the prosecutor also elected to charge, I think, what's probably a more viable charge in that case, which is reckless homicide. And I'm going to define what reckless homicide means. First of all, in Ohio, they call that a felony of the third degree, which means if you're convicted of it, there's no mandatory prison, but you could go to prison for up to 5 years. But reckless homicide means that the person is defined as recklessly causing the death of another person or unlawful termination of a pregnancy. So recklessly causing a death. And reckless is got its own definition. A person acts recklessly when they, with heedless indifference to the consequences, perversely disregard a known risk that their conduct is likely to cause a certain result or be of a certain nature. This is a step above mere negligence, but it's below doing it on purpose. And there's one in between there called knowingly, which I won't go into. So what the heck does it mean when a person acts with heedless indifference to the consequences, perversely disregard a known risk that their conduct is likely to cause a certain result or be of a certain nature? What does that mean? I have no freaking clue. And if you know, please let me know in the comments. I'm sort of half joking. So reckless is, maybe it's easiest to, when I talk to juries, I try to define what it isn't. And, you know, negligence is if you are driving along, doing nothing wrong, not looking at your phone, not doing whatever, and you just miss a stop sign. It happens to all of us. Sometimes you look the wrong way at the wrong time and you miss something. That would be negligent. So you're normal care of duty, you've fallen below. Reckless would be is if you're looking at your phone, eating your cheeseburger and dipping your fries in ketchup and driving with your knees while tending to your kid in the back. Now you're acting recklessly. Now it's more than just making a mistake. You should have known that if you do all those things, that bad stuff is going to happen. You should have known because you're acting recklessly. I shouldn't use the word known, but it's no surprise that if you are doing all those things, that bad stuff will happen. So acting recklessly, that's a heedless disregard for the risk. In that situation, it would be like not missing a traffic light because you're distracting yourself and you had total control over those distractions. You didn't have to be distracted. So reckless operation, for instance, would be driving like that. And by the way, insurance companies hate reckless, so don't do it. Now, in the context of the reckless homicide, the jury was convinced, at least in this case, unanimously, that Officer Meade acted recklessly, that he acted with heedless disregard for the risk, that he didn't. And there's some facts and nuances of this case I'm not going into. I don't want to for this episode. But I'm not saying it fits, not saying it doesn't fit, but it's close. It's a closer fit than saying he did it on purpose. In fact, wouldn't have surprised me if that were a plea outcome of the case either way. So, all right, now what happens next? And by the way, the judge locked up Meade as soon as the verdict happened. Meade was out on bail. The judge immediately locked him up pending sentencing hearing, which will happen probably in a few weeks. So Meade's sitting in jail waiting on sentencing. Now, there's been a big outcry about this, whether the judge should have locked him up, whether the judge should have given the Allen charge, whatever it is. None of that is out of the ordinary. You know, it's like this is stuff that happens all the time in every run-of-the-mill case all day long. But it gets attention in a media case, and so be it. I get it. So I don't know if the judge should have locked him up or didn't lock him up, but the fact is Meade's in jail serving time. Maximum penalty, again, is up to 5 years in prison. Now, the real question everybody's asking is two. Is he going to go to prison, or is Meade going to be placed on probation because he's eligible for our version of probation, which in Ohio we call community control. Figure that one out. What's the sentence going to be? And more important, is the prosecutor going to retry the case? The answer is, I don't know. But here's how it's going to get sorted out. The judge will order something called a pre-sentence investigation, which is an outline of Meade's background, all the information about the case, any prior conduct, whatever it would be, just enough, what the stuff you would want to look at in order to make a sentencing decision. But I think what's probably going on behind the scenes, if I had to guess, is a little bit of horse trading, some good old-fashioned horse trading. If I were representing Meade, I would be saying, look, you got your reckless homicide, you're guilty of that. Should we go to the prosecutor and say, we will agree not to appeal the case if you agree not to prosecute the murder case? Might be I don't want to call it backdoor dealing because that sounds like it's not proper, but it is. I mean, those kind of discussions, it would not surprise me if that's going on. The government's going to have to decide, is it worth our resources to do this again? I don't happen to know what the split was in other words, was it 6-6? I don't know on the verdict on the homicide, but all that will go into play. Is it worth, did the government get its pound of flesh satisfactory enough? There's a lot of political influence over stuff like this. And, you know, no matter what you do, the hue and cry is going to be disappointed. Those who say Meade was innocent, there's lots of them that say the cops are being overly punished, will be outraged at the conviction and if they don't appeal. Those who say that all cops are bad and they shoot and kill people, they're going to be outraged and say it should be murder. My opinion on it is reckless homicide seems to fit if you believe the prosecutor's theory better than somebody purposely killed somebody. So anyway, I don't know what the outcome will be, but that's my legal breakdown. You heard it here first 3 weeks later on Lawyer Talk Off the Record on the Air. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.